Chapter 4. A Family is Born. Carnegie. And again backward to 15 years ago and the story of how Lizzie came to us.
For this is how our family came together. Lizzie first. And is that not the start of the story?
I was a grad student back then, living in the Midwest, which I did not particularly like, and getting a master's in double E, which I did not particularly like. It so happened, too, that I had signed up for an opera class in the church annex with the copper beech tree. Did I like it particularly? My mother detested opera. And so, yes, I did like it most particularly. Yes. I thought, what's more, that there might be interesting women in that class, women who would prove surprise, unlike my mother. And should one of them prove particularly interesting, I knew what I would do, invite her to an opera. The local conservatory was always mounting something, so to speak. I warmed its shiny schedule in my pocket. In the meantime, I passed and passed the smooth-barked beech tree. I looked up into that tree and thought about climbing it. But I was a man now. Climbing the tree was like a question I did not have to answer. My life was full of new questions, questions so large I didn't know what they were. They preoccupied me with their vagueness.
I like to think of Carnegie in that phase of his life, passing that tree, considering his life, considering the tree, how huge it was, and what a room it made under itself. So rich and venerable, and yet like a prison, he said. Its lowest boughs, big as trunks themselves, grazed the ground, which was resplendent with moss. Years later, Carnegie was still talking about that moss, and the way the roots rose out of it like a day of reckoning. I didn't know any other men who stood back that way. Carnegie had big hands, like my father's, strong, but smoother and more delicate. He kept them in his pockets as though he was saving them. He might have been a surgeon or a pianist.